I think that's the biggest thing that I want church leaders to take away from it is that your time is the most valuable asset you have for the church, and you should be spending it in community. You should not be spending it answering emails or thinking about how can I write this email.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Katie Allred, just like it's spelled. She is the founder of churchcommunications.com and leads an online community, of which I am a member, of 30,000 plus church leaders worldwide. It's incredible. When she isn't doing that, you can find her teaching at different universities. She doesn't have her corncob pipe, but she is a professor, speaking at conferences and writing at katieallred.com. She is a thought leader in marketing, business, and Christian leadership. She also has published a book on church communication, which is pretty ballin'. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Hey, Kenny, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I feel like I'm on the verge of almost too caffeinated, but we'll see where the afternoon takes us.
All right. Yeah, maybe let's slow down.
we're going to slow it down in post. So we'll speed it up and then it's at like half speed. It's a little behind the scenes tidbit for all the listeners. But tell me today, Katie, what is on your mind?
Yeah, you know, right now I am really focused on helping churches use AI. I think there's a lot of stuff happening in that space, but really I'm like helping them adopt AI tools to enhance their communication, to streamline their workflows, and figure out how to like deepen their connection within their community. And I'm really interested in how like AI can support like communication directors, for example, because that's what I wrote my book about, was church communication.
Which I love. I'm a huge fan. We were already talking before I hit the old record button about that. But I'm curious with this move and your focus, because you have done a lot with just overarching church communications.
Sure.
This is a specific niche, depending on what part of the country you live. Don't care. But what are you seeing as you are broaching this topic? Like what's the current thinking or prevailing wisdom in churches today about the use of AI in whatever part of ministry it could apply?
Yeah, it's either a lot of hesitancy or a lot of excitement. It's one or the other. I don't think there's a lot of in between, or it's just ignorance. Like I have no idea what you're talking about. So if they know a little bit about it, they're either really excited or really hesitant. But I think, you know, the thing about any new technology is you either get on the bus and stay on the bus, or you get off the bus entirely. So,
or you get run over by the bus.
Yeah. Yeah. One or the other. Right. Like, I mean, it was just like when we started using radio or even, you know, the press, I think people are always like so surprised by new technological advancements, like it's going to ruin the church or something. And that's just not the case. It's, if anything, it's going to help quite a bit. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, you might have people go so far like, well, they didn't have AI in the Bible. It's not specifically in there. So we don't even deal with that. I was like, I'm sorry, but do you know how to read? Because not a lot of those people could either.
That also wasn't biblical reading.
So that's really what I want to talk about today is walking back reading.
Biblical
illiteracy. Like, well, that's a different problem in the church.
That's a whole thing, actually. Like, if we consider that, then it really changes interpretation of text. But we won't go there today.
I don't think we have enough time. That might be a whole podcast unto itself, and maybe one that we should.
You can find someone else for that. I'm not a biblical scholar by any means.
I think that's what makes it even better. It does.
You know, yeah. I know, but I have no theological education whatsoever. I mean, maybe I took one New Testament class in undergrad, I think, for the kicks and giggles, but.
You know what's neat? Neither did the disciples. So there you go.
Oh no, now we're getting real, Kenny. Let's not.
I think we jumped off into a different topic.
We're back. Yeah, we're going to talk about AI now.
If anybody wants to, you can email all of these questions to Katie at, I'm just kidding, or you could pass them on to someone else. I am curious though, with those AI in general, not even just in churches, but in business or just personally, mm-hmm. I have found it very, it is either dread mm-hmm. or really more like an unhealthy suspicion about mm-hmm. it, or just like a wild yeah. exuberance. And right. since we have mentioned the Bible, zeal without knowledge.
Without knowledge. Wow.
Yeah, there you go. There's some deep cuts. Don't ask me to figure out the reference on it. I'm great at scripture, so long as you don't ask me where it's located.
Yeah.
Except for John 3:16. I know that one. That's a good one. I only know that because of Tim Tebow. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So, because what's funny is I even had a conversation with a gentleman in my church mm-hmm. a couple Sundays ago, and I was talking about AI and how I was using it and leveraging it in a lot of my coaching practice, because I just feel like it's a way for me to find new connections between the tools that I use, the concepts, the frameworks, maybe create custom solutions, courses, stuff like that. And mm-hmm. he just threw out there, and it was that he's like, well, I don't like it. I think it's going to take a lot of people's jobs. And I was like, but at the same time, it's going to create a lot of jobs. And I went further on that, and probably a stereotypical sarcastic Kenny way, like, hey, do you like cruise control in your car? Well, that's a really dumb form of AI. But I'm curious, like, what?
That's really smart. You know, now I can like really track the people in front of you and that kind of stuff.
It can. Yeah. It's freaky with some of the, like, even the Tesla graphics, like those, I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. I was like, I'm Knight Rider, for all of my Gen X listeners. But when you see that move and there's not a whole lot in the middle, mm-hmm. what do you think underlies those beliefs? And then why might both, like, super duper excited and super duper hesitant be unproductive mm-hmm. in their thinking?
Well, I think the people that are one end probably see it as often too complex. And then also, is it even worth going into? Like, they think of it being like only useful for large organizations or maybe really tech savvy mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. tech savvy teams. But I don't think that is the case. I think it's really useful, probably the most useful for smaller teams. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of hesitancy because they think, oh, I've got to learn. There's a huge learning curve. And I don't think that's the case. I think it really is a thing you can just start using today mm-hmm. and see how it helps your life. And then you can add other tools, but like you can really just start with ChatGPT and start using talking to it and seeing what it can do for you.
Right.
And then go from there. I think that's it more than anything. I don't know that like it's, yeah, there's going to be obviously people who are like, oh, that's not ethical or it's anti-biblical or there's, you know, those kind of hesitancies. But that's going to be a hesitancy about anything. Where I think the big hesitancy is, well, I am a dinosaur and cannot possibly use, I have a hard time doing my email. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, this will actually help you do your email. So there is that, you know, like it's going to help you so much in your like daily life that you're going to be surprised by the end of it, like how much you have learned and also how much it has just helped you do things more efficiently and also taken away some stress about how, you know, to word things or mm-hmm. do things or strategy or process or think through. I think of it as a great like assistant to like bounce ideas off of and those type of things. So yeah,
which is huge if you consider it, because usually you have to like hire employees and have staff meetings and do all that sort of stuff in order to bound or high price coaches, consultants. People like what, you know, we're doing now. I have leveraged it for that reason. I mean, I'm a one person company.
Yeah, of course.
But since I've been able to jump on, I can ask some questions, some feedback. And of course, now since GPT has added the search function, we can get live feedback. You know, there's also Perplexity, which can look into like real-time internet data, whereas before you had to like copy paste and do some different things or really specifically direct it. So I think it's huge. I'm curious if you've come across people who somehow think that to interject it somehow takes away from the humanity that is essential in ministry, whether it's preparing a sermon, replying to a question about your church and first-time visitor or any of that, if it sort of strips out the human connection element, because I have heard a little bit of that. Is that something that you've encountered?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely that hesitancy. I would say, though, that all of this data is trained on humans, so it's not, you know, pulling from space or some robot. It is a robot, but it's pulling from human information.
It's a cool robot.
Yeah, yeah. It's a robot, but it's a cool robot, yeah. And the truth is that you can train it on your data. You can train it on how you've spoken. For example, like I can upload a chapter of my book or whatever. I can upload blog posts or something that I've written in the past and have it write as if it were me. And that gives it definitely a way more human aspect to it, for sure. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think we're working on a lot. You know, we have, you talked a little bit at the beginning about my church communications Facebook group. Mm-hmm. We also have an AI for churches Facebook group as well. It's a little smaller. Kenny's in there though.
And so it's totally cool.
It's where you can come and hang out and learn some of this. Even if you're not a church, I'm cool with you being in there. You just like want to learn. I think we have some really awesome like cohorts going on, and we're offering coaching and stuff for that now, just because this is the cusp of it. You know, it's just the beginning of what this is going to be. So
yeah. Please, we'll include links to join and all those sorts of things so people can find this. But one of the things that I hope people understand, and I try to, for lack of a better term, evangelize, is that this shift is as big, pivotal as the internet being democratized to everybody and not just being a government or a university or like large institution type of tool. Is it's not a question of if this will stick around. It's like how many different places will it seep into, be applied to? How essential will it be for you to know how to engineer prompts and to what degree? I do think going into one of the things you said about some people are intimidated, and I think that there are a lot of people that they're like, man, I'm not good to use my smartphone. I butt dial somebody every day and it's different. Or I keep signing off on Facebook messages like I wrote a letter. So they may be intimidated by it. I would say, unlike when coding and becoming a programmer was just pushed so hard for probably the last decade or so as like an essential skill, which I firmly believe in. Like, I don't know, I've told my kids, I was like, you probably should learn a little bit of this or at least understand, have a rudimentary understanding.
Sure. Yeah, my undergrad.
This is natural language.
Yeah.
Like, literally, the only thing you have to be able to do is write and speak barely, if that, to start to make progress. And even as somebody like me, who's, I've been a technology forward nerd for as long as I can remember. I remember my dad buying a computer from CompUSA. And I was like five.
We
set it up and it took forever. I mean, you could, you know, say, I want to go to this website and come back in like 30 minutes later with dial up. Built my first website when I was seven. It was about wrestling, sadly, but I hope that page has been taken down. But
I love GeoCities?
Angel Fire.
Okay. Yeah.
Angel Fire. And I started learning some, I think it was HTML 2 or 3 at that point.
Yeah.
But I say all that to say is I've loved technology for a long time. And even I getting started, like I wasn't it was neat how much the volume of data that it could shoot back at me. But it's taken me, I would say, probably a good 4 to 6 months for me to feel like, oh, I'm just now getting to a place to where I can engineer a prompt to get the response I want. I have done, and I think everybody should do what Katie was just talking about with the have it learn your voice. I've done this differently in both ChatGPT and Claude 3.5 as of this writing is the one I was using, but feed it blog post, LinkedIn post, a different thing, and have it analyze it and create a writing style guide. And now you have a document that you can upload into any chat and say, I need you to abide by these rules. And you can even put some stuff in there to help improve. If you're like, I suck at writing stories. Actually, that's one of my things is putting stories into my writing. And also, I'm not going to say dumbing it down, but simplifying my concepts and my speech and the words that I use. I mean, my wife makes fun of me all the time whenever I speak. She's like, I didn't understand half of what you said. You need to, you know, reduce your words down. Like, it's a $7 word. You need a $2 word.
Yeah.
And so now I've woven that in so I can feed it back and go, oh, my ideas are taking shape and I'm learning from it, which is, and having it ask me questions. So I think that those are some simple things that it feels human-like.
Yeah.
And now we could go down the other rabbit trail of like people forming unhealthy attachments to AI entities. I mean, there's been some pretty sad stories in the news recently, but I think that makes it accessible. Now let's
to the role though, you know, those incidents.
Yeah. So please, people, don't take the worst thing and make that the rule, as is typical for most news. But let's walk to the other side of the equation where people are just, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. What?
And it is.
But they're like, we got to use it here and here and here. Because I do think that there's another ditch you can fall into with this. Like, you can steer clear of it completely and be afraid of it. But you can go in the other direction. What do you see when you see people who are headed towards that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I have headed that direction sometimes too, you know, of, well, ChatGPT can think of this strategy better than I can. And then I will go down that wormhole of having it go back and forth with me about what this is and what it should be. And then by the end of it, I've spent 2 hours not gotten anywhere, right? Because I'm just like, no, like, this is terrible. Like, I could just write this. Let me just write this. And so I'll, you know, sit there and write it out. And because, like, it has an idea of what it thinks the best podcast strategy could be or whatever. It has, like, its own, you know, opinion on what that is. But it doesn't know actually what your niche is, or, like, it doesn't know. And, I mean, yeah, you could feed it that. But I think at the end of the day, you know what you like to listen to. And so why don't you write it out? And then you could feed that to ChatGPT and have it improve upon that. But sometimes I think we want to take the critical thinking out of our jobs, and that's fair. You know, I've done that, and but it's funny because the next day I go, that's not what I want at all. Like, I want this. Yeah. And that makes me required to, like, actually sit down and write it. But I've been doing that a lot more lately because I am a little disabled. If you're watching this on video, I lost my right arm recently. I had elbow replacement surgery. I just tripped and fell. I wish it was cooler, but that's my dominant hand and I cannot use it. And so I can't type, and I've really become reliant on now Apple Intelligence and dictation software that has a lot of AI in it. And I love it. It's been so incredibly helpful. I actually think it's made me a better speaker because I have to think some before I speak. Although now the AI can go back and say, oh, you know, you might say, oh, I wanted to meet you at 5. And then I go, oh, no, I mean 6. And it will, like, fix that for you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, think about the possibilities of how great it is too for accessibility and for making your life easier, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you mentioned about the making you a better speaker and stuff. One of the things that in learning to write better prompts and just interact with different AI agents or models.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much of when I spoke or when I was writing ideas, how much I compressed into one like paragraph or sentence of things or sure. how many steps my brain is processing simultaneously mm-hmm. to get to something. Yeah. And I would sort of put in the last line of whatever I was thinking before the output and just expect it to know that.
Right.
And once I figured that out and I was like, okay, well, I got to break down what I'm doing here. So I build this right. If I were building it step by step, what would I do?
Yeah.
So now my prompts are much more broken up, but it's been mm-hmm. neat because it's helped me get better insight into how I'm processing and how I think and what building blocks are there.
Right.
Which has been a weird side effect of right. this that I wasn't planning on. I hadn't really heard anybody talk about other than, you know, chunking, you know, sure. like chunk your requests in a certain way and do this just from yeah. like productivity yeah. efficiency standpoint, but not really from an insight. Is that, you know, even before your super cool trip and fall, was that something that occurred to you or have you heard from other people
it definitely about changed
how it changes yeah. the thinking?
I think, yeah, it definitely changed the way I think about how I approach a problem or approach work or how I'm going to answer my work or do it. You know, I think before, yeah, if I was told, hey, make a marketing strategy about this, well, I would probably start with Googling what is the market. No, I'm just kidding. But I'd probably start with, you know.
There's probably a great template on churchcommunicators.com for that.
Yeah, yeah, church communications. Yep, yep.
Or communication.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I would probably do that. No, I think I would, you know, I would approach differently than now wondering what is the best place to get started instead. Like I would just get started and I might not think about what I need background information wise to make it the better mm-hmm. strategy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I would just like say, well, this is what we've done before, or like, or this is what I've, you know, or what we have done in the past, or, you know, I would rely on the information that I have, right? Well, mm-hmm. with this now, I'm like, oh, I have infinitely more knowledge that I can access. What is the better way to do this? And so, you know, starting by asking those questions, and I asked ChatGPT a lot more questions than I think. And I actually have it ask me a lot more questions than I think I have it, you know, ask it, that's yeah. the right way. So like, typically what I'll do is like, okay, I am making a marketing strategy. What questions do you have for me to make the best possible strategy?
Yeah.
Kind of reversing the logic. And, mm-hmm. and so then it like spews out 20 questions or whatever. And then I can answer those 20 questions and it has made me really think through what am I doing? And, you know, you can always say, well, this question's not applicable or, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. But like, it really helps you have a much better starting place. And then even from there, you can be like, okay, but what about this specific thing? I want to go more into social media with a strategy. What could we do with that? That would help. What campaign could we make to make this strategy better or whatever? Mm-hmm. And so just having it, I don't know, just asking it questions to ask it to ask me also is very helpful.
Yeah. I don't think we had discussed it. It was probably before I hit record, but the last month I've switched off of ChatGPT. I'll still use it for some things, but I've been focused on trying to learn Claude and some of its differences. Yeah. And it's been really, I've loved it, especially for writing and putting some things together. It comes up, even if you didn't ask it to, it comes up with some thoughtful responses and questions. I'm like, oh, well, that's a really cool idea. And no one yeah. had to know that I was too dumb to think about that in the first place. But, you know, one of the parts I put into the writing instructions on, I built one for like the communication frameworks and strategies for like marketing sure. and sales and all sorts yeah. of stuff. And I gave it instructions that while it's an expert on all these things, I want you to act more as a coach to help me learn and deconstruct these things. So now it will ask me more questions, or I do like you did and say, here's all the things I know and I understand. Can you please ask me questions to fill in the gaps, or what even in the documents I've given you, like these frameworks and these principles, what information have I not given you and supplied that would fit this so that we could move forward? And that has been a total game changer, because you can't hire a coach on anything for $20 a month.
No, for sure not.
Yes. So has that become more and more of a go-to strategy for you and getting started and sort of like unlocking your thoughts? Because, you know, if you're anything like me, you bottle up all these thoughts. You have a campaign idea or a business idea or whatever project.
Yeah.
And you're sort of collecting stuff internally until you're ready to like sit down and just start building out the skeleton. Well, and so you have so much bottled up that you can't get it all out at once.
Yeah. Well, I think too, being able to upload all those things into Claude or ChatGPT and then say, okay, make some sense out of this, or like, where am I going with this or whatever, is like really nice. That's cool. And so, you know, you could even like export all of your past blog posts and be like, make sense out of this into a book. Like, could I make this into a book? Like, what does this look like? Or, you know, all those kind of things. There's so much, like, what would I need to expand on in order to make this better? You know, those kind of things. Or if you're a professor, how would you grade this? If you're a professor of business or a professor of English or, you know, those kind of things, how would you grade this? What feedback would you have for me? Because I'm a professor, I use it often for like, you know, giving feedback or helping me come up with, you know, how can I better expand on my thoughts to give the feedback to the students that are learning, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that's a great way to use it.
One of the things I think is that people underestimate is, in my opinion, I feel that these models, whichever one you're a fan of, and I know we've mentioned two, but there's also, you know, Llama and Gemini. Gemini's from Google. Llama, it was Facebook, and I think somebody else uses Llama.
Yeah.
But I think that this has taken away the excuse of the blank page and the blinking cursor is intimidating. The ability to start something fast and ideate it is crazy powerful. And so to me, I think my hope is that people see it more and more as an empowering technology for more people to be able to do more work or to try out their ideas. And especially for, if you're a person listening to this and maybe you don't have that big, bold personality, you just storm into the staff meeting or whatever it is. And this is my idea, and here's how it's going to change the company or the church or the ministry or the whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If that's not you, and that's okay. I think this gives you more of a fighting shot and helps you put together those ideas more coherently to where you can bring more innovation, more of your ideas to life. Because I see so many people who, if I have a conversation with them, I'm like, these people are brilliant. They're insightful. Yeah. But for them to generate it in and of themselves, that's not a strong suit of theirs. And that's okay. There's weaknesses that come from being a loud jackwagon like me. But notice I pointed at me. I didn't include Katie in that. So nobody email me that I'm calling guest jackwagons. I have other people I may do that to. But I think that that's also something that's really cool, that that I hope that this shift in technology and information and communication brings about in some of your, whether it's in the cohorts that are getting started or even just one-on-one or maybe some of your students. Are you seeing some of this, or are people still hesitant because that there's some sort of doubt about themselves or the value of their ideas or what's happening there?
No, for sure. I think a lot of people are gaining a lot of confidence, especially coming out of the cohort or starting coaching, just like learning that they're perfectly capable of using it. You know, that's just another tool like Microsoft Word or Sheets or Google Sheets or whatever for getting your job done. Gosh, I remember I don't know. You probably remembered. I'm just kidding. When Excel.
Whoa. You know? Okay. You know what? I take back my loud jackwagon comment. Since we're shooting, did we just become best friends? I think so.
Excel came out, and it was crazy. The accountants didn't know. They were like, "We're not gonna have a job anymore." And of course, now they still have jobs. They're just different. And so, I think that's going to be a big part of that. You know, I think the biggest thing is just handling routine tasks. I think it's also freeing up people to have time for deeper community building efforts. Like, I think that's the biggest thing that I want church leaders to take away from it, is that your time is the most valuable asset you have for the church. Mm-hmm. And you should be spending it in community. You should not be spending it answering emails or thinking about, you know, how can I write this email to our church about this thing, when you could have AI help you write it so much faster, get it out so much quicker, help you design a graphic that looks great, and then you're done. You know, I think all these things are really important. Obviously, I wrote a whole book about church communications, but I also think more importantly, you should be spending time in your community. You should be serving people. That is our number one reason for existing, is to help people. And so, you know, just doing these admin tasks probably takes up a good 80% of a lot of pastors' day.
When most people think that they're just out like golfing, it's like they work one day a week and then they spend the rest of their day doing whatever. A lot of it is like probably soul draining administrative work. I love that idea that this can free you up to do more of the things that, in my experience, most pastors would love to spend more time with their people. But, you know, the demands of the job take them otherwise, and then they get to show up on Sundays and Wednesdays and occasionally, you know, a small group or counseling session. But oftentimes it's not just in, I'm really doing a work to avoid saying the phrase doing life together, because it's so overdone. True. But I mean, that same idea of having non-productive time spent with the people, which I think gets more at the heart of community, which we could probably go on a different rant about why community is so hard to find inside of churches, because there's no investment. It's a production. It could be just
find a small group in your church as a Pakistani immigrant who is a single man. He doesn't have a family and is in his mid-30s. Probably not.
Might be difficult. So do you also see this as beyond just, hey, let AI take care of some of these tasks that, you know, lack of a better term, anybody could do or whatever, that can it help create more community directly? That's sort of an indirect help. Mm-hmm. Do you see it as an option to help create community?
I think of it more as, like, instead of seeing AI as like this complex or impersonal thing, that church leaders should consider it more as an assistant that helps them with practical tasks. You know, that can help them draft messages, automate their responses, or like help them analyze trends, help them figure out, you know, the basic task of life, so that they get back to the more important relational aspects of ministry.
Gotcha. Yeah. There's a thing in leadership. I don't know who takes responsibility. We probably could just give it to Maxwell, since he said everything about leadership that ever needs to be said. But a lot of times in leadership, when I'm working with people, as I talk to them about getting back to doing what only you can do, there are some things that you can't outsource.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know,
writing. I've had. You should not AI to write your sermon. You should not outsource writing your sermon. You should write your sermon. If you're
now, if you want some ideas stories or pieces like that, but you have also got to what's the Holy Spirit telling you that you need to be teaching your people?
Right. That's a big part of it. I think you can use it for ideas. Absolutely. I think, you know, and also finding scripture, finding quotes, those kind of things for sure. We actually have a whole tool built for that called Sermon Spark that pastors can use for free. So that's always fun.
Nice. We'll have to pick up the link on that. I don't know. My pastor may fight me on that, but it's okay. It's a fight worth having. So if someone's thinking, hey, I love this. Maybe this isn't as big and bad and scary as I thought it was going to be. Or maybe the enthusiasts heard something that they go, oh, I see now how I could practice. I want to use it, but I don't need 30 more subscriptions. And it also is becoming a bit of a tangled web of different language and definitions for the same things and whatnot. But if somebody said, I want to get started, I would love to build some confidence. What's something that they could do as a baby step in the next 24 hours with little to no money to start down that path?
I would start with a simple AI tool like ChatGPT or Claude. And both have free tiers. And so the free ones are just as good as the paid ones. You just are limited by how many times you can talk to them. So you might end up saying, well, now I'm talking to it too much and I should probably pay for it. And I think that's a good way to tell if you should be paying for it or not. There's also, you know, if you're like, oh, I want to try them all. I mean, there's tools like Magi, and I have a link to get that a little cheaper. But it's, you know, it lets you try a bunch of different options. So that's cool. Like you can use Gemini, you can use all of those different things inside of one tool, one subscription. But I think really like, okay, if you're going to start in the next 24 hours, like starting with a simple tool like ChatGPT or Claude, and then generate like a draft message to an email, like put an email thread in there and say, hey, write a reply for me. I am this person. And then see, you know, what it comes up with. Maybe have it brainstorm some content ideas for you. Like, hey, we have an event coming up. What, you know, could we do to promote it? You know, those kind of things. Maybe have it analyze some different data for you. Of course, not sensitive data. Don't upload your giving information. But you could probably upload like attendance numbers over the last few years or that kind of thing and say, okay, what are the trends? What are the things we're learning? If you have a survey that you did of your people recently, you could upload that and find out probably some really good, significant insight. And so I think those just starting with like small, manageable tasks will allow leaders to see what AI's potential really is.
I love all of those things. They're great to try. And also if you are a much smaller church too, I know trying to pull off events and things like that, and not just the promotion, but the organization of it can be a nightmare. It can do pretty robust, but simple to understand like event plans and things like that. So it can organize that, and it does it in a nice, you know, typically a bulleted form. Yeah.
You can even ask it to change that bulleted form to a table and then copy it over to a Google sheet and assign it to people. Like, it's amazing what you can have it do, right?
That part was neat when I started using it. I did that on I was looking for some conferences to speak at and application, and got all of it down and then said export. And I was like, this is cool. That saved me so much time. So, and the other part is if you don't feel like you're getting the right answers, a quick tip is just ask it to help you improve the prompt, which feels super meta. As help me ask you a better question than I just asked you. And instead, I feel like if you do that, I'm like, I'm also wondering, well, if it knows how to improve it to get a better answer, why didn't you just answer it the better way in the first place? But maybe in a few years, it'll be able to do that. Katie, I really appreciate your time and your wisdom. If people want to know more about you, connect with you, where are the best places for them to go?
Yeah, well, of course, you can go to katieallred.com. You can go to churchcommunications.com. Or if you want to learn more about the AI work that I'm doing, you can go to AI-4-Church. churches.com. I know. See, you bought the domain name originally, you said, and
I probably did. I probably just messed you all up on that one. Sorry.
That's why I'm over here with all my dashes. Excuse me, but it's ai-4-churches.com. And so, yeah, you can visit us there and sign up. The cohort, we're actually starting in January, so pretty soon. It's only $99 and it's 3 training sessions all together, and it's limited to like I think less than 20 people. So if you want to get
in, you just run in one, or if you get enough, would you split it?
Yeah, if we got enough in January, we probably would split it, but then also we will run another. So yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And where can they sign up for the cohort? Is that at Church Communicate or the AI all your dashes?
All the dashes.
AI all the dashes.
For churches. AI yes. Dash for.
We'll have that linked up. So I hope if you are a church leader or you know a church leader, even if they are playing with it, experimenting with it, is this a cohort that's great for beginners, intermediate?
Yeah, 100%. It's all made for basically beginners. I think if you're even intermediate, you'll probably still get something out of it because it's still so new, right? So I think just watching someone else use it teaches me a new trick every time because everybody uses it so differently.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, doing that together in a group of different church leaders is helpful.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. And I hope to have you back on again in the future. Maybe when maybe the AI can join us on the call and interact like an iRobot sort of thing. Maybe we'll get one of Tesla's robots to join us on the call.
Excellent.
That could either be great or terrifying. So we'll figure out which one. Stay tuned. But thank you so much. And to the listener, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I hope this was helpful and beneficial and helped you take a next step. Whatever platform you're on, I would appreciate a like, a rate, a review, a subscribe, whatever the right button may be. And also, it's a great way to just pay it forward. Those sort of actions and engagements help bubble this show, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, sort of playlist to the top. And you never know what conversation may unlock a fellow leader's next step in their leadership journey. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.